Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome
good morning.
To Harvest Baptist Church. It's the first Sunday of the month. As you see, we have several men in a choir. We'll be singing a Christmas song here in just a moment. We're so glad you're here this morning, whether it's your first time or the first time in a while. I trust you'll enjoy yourself as we prepare to worship and serve the Lord this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy of service and fellowship. Thank you for the beautiful day you've given us in this season, Lord, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that you bless our services today. Bless us as we strive to minister to one another and to worship you. Bless us now. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's go to the Lord and ask God's blessings upon our tithes and offerings this morning. Brother Dave Smith, would you please pray for us?
Heavenly Father, as we sang this morning, how wonderful, how marvelous your love is for us, that you would send your son, Jesus, to die on a cross for us. And Father, salvation is open to all. And Lord, I just pray that if there would be anybody here that would not know Jesus as Savior, that they would get that settled today. Father, bless this offering. Continue to bless this church, Father. Help us, Lord, to be a light to our community. Pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to the preaching of your word this morning, Father. And may we all leave here just a little changed and a little more committed and dedicated to you. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
we go to the Lord together in prayer, let's remember to ask the Lord to bless our services this morning. And, of course, as always, do a work that only He can do. And also, let's be appreciative and thankful for the goodness that God has been to us and the facilities that we have and the families we have. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are truly grateful for the privilege and opportunity to come before Thy throne. Father, I pray this morning that You would work and do a work that only You can do in the midst of Your people this morning. We ask Your blessings upon our men and the men of Harvest and those men that are visiting with us this morning. We do ask that You'd bless them, encourage them, strengthen them, Father. Pray that You'd put a hedge about them, Father. Protect them from sin. Protect them from physical harm and distress. Protect them, Lord, also from maybe hurting unintentionally or speaking something that would be offensive to others. And, Lord, help their hearts and their conscience be so sensitive that they would be aware and make it right. Bless them, encourage them, help them to be the godly examples at home, at work, in their community, and, of course, here at church. Bless them. Father, we thank You for our ladies here at Harvest Baptist Church. We ask Your blessings upon them as they strive to serve You and be that Proverbs 31 woman, that they may be used of You to be a blessing and encouragement to those that are around them. Father, I thank You for those who labor and work here in our ministry. Father, we have those that help with the children's ministry, with our nursery, Father, those that work security and parking lot. Lord, we are so grateful in so many things that are done behind the scenes in preparation before a church service. We are so grateful for those that are involved and willing to give of themselves without any recognition, just desire to serve and to be used of You. Father, bless them. Father, we ask Your blessings upon those who are here with us that may be visiting for the first time or the first time in a long time. Father, bless them, encourage them, speak to their hearts. Pray that they've received a warm welcome as everyone else in the room has as well. And Lord, I pray that You would just bless our services. Help me. Father, give me a clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and clarity of speech. Help me to continue to preach and stand forth with the gospel without apology. Pray that You would help me this morning to be Your mouthpiece, Your spokesperson, Father, and help me to be obedient unto Thee. Father, I pray now that You'd bless our special music that's about to come, that You'd use it to help in preparing our hearts and minds for the preaching. Help us to put away the cares and concerns of the world, Father, that we may tune in to this time of worship and fellowship and teaching of Thy word. Father, I pray there's anyone here today that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. May today be their day of salvation. May that Christian who may be struggling with sin in their life be prepared and ready and under such great conviction to make it right with You that they may be back in fellowship. Father, bless as only You can. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Text once again this morning is 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16. We'll read 1 John 5, 16 before our ladies come sing for us this morning. The Bible says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and it shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. Now, notice again that first phrase, if any man see his brother, talking about believers in this last portion of the scripture, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it.
Do you worship the babe in the manger, but reject the Christ of the cross? Your redemption comes not by the manger, but the death of Christ on the cross. The babe in the manger was God's only Son, who came to this world to die. The babe in the manger could never have done the work of His God on high. The babe left the manger and went to the cross to pay the wages of sin. Your way of forgiveness is not by the babe, but the Christ who died for your sin. If you worship the babe in the manger, but ignore the blood of God's Son. To you, Christ is only a stranger. To you, trust the work he has done. Will you look past the babe in the manger? Will you look to Calvary? Oh, my friend, can you see the danger of a lost eternity? The babe in the manger was God's only Son, who came to this world to die. The babe in the manger could never have done the work of his God on high. The babe left the manger and went to the cross to pay the wages of sin. Your way of forgiveness is not by the babe, but the Christ who died for your sin. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live. Your way of forgiveness is not by the babe, but the Christ who died for your sin.
I believe this year Christmas will be our fourth Christmas in Arizona, and I won't take answers now, but you can help me later. But please, somebody along the way, help me understand why 70 degrees in July and August feels so good, but it's starting to feel cold in December. Does that mean I'm getting older? Is that what it is? My blood is thinning out? I don't know. Officially, we have not turned on the heat in the house yet. I have turned it on in the morning to knock off the chill, or the electric fireplace in the living room to knock off the chill just a degree or two the other morning. But I'm just determined not to turn the heat on. This is Arizona. It's not supposed to be this cold. And we're not in the mountains. We're in the valley. But maybe I'll go and look what my gas bill was last year for December and see what it'll be this year. I don't know. I think my blood, it might be just thinning out just a little bit. All right, that's enough of that. Let's get to the message this morning. Is sin shortening your life? Is a series we started here a couple weeks ago or last week, and we'll go a little further as we talk about sin in 1 John chapter 5 and 16 through the latter part of the chapter. Last week we talked about how we're Christians to deal with backslidden Christians. Remember, we're still talking about believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. If we can help a backslidden Christian turn their life around, we may help them prolong their life, as we looked at last week. So we must pray for worldly and rebellious Christians. We may have to separate from them or limit our time with them, but we still should pray for them, as we looked at last week. But there are some exceptions to that in some ways, and we'll look at that today. Today we'll address the sin unto death. The sin unto death. So what is a sin unto death? And we'll look at that just one point this morning, but don't be too encouraged. It doesn't mean it'll be short. Just one point, but a few subpoints. John spoke about a sin here in our passage, not unto death, and now he speaks about a sin unto death. John basically said, I am not forbidding prayer for those in serious sin. You see, sometimes we are so burdened to pray for those who are living wickedly, but sometimes we are not impressed to pray for those living a vile lifestyle that can shorten their lives. You see, the Holy Spirit may not impress us to pray for them. That is not unusual, as we'll see from Scripture in just a moment. Sometimes people can go so far away from God that the Lord says, let them go. He lets their wickedness become their judgment. A lot of passage of Scripture this morning, they will be on the screen. If you can't have time to turn there, they're also in your handout in the back of your bulletin. I did make sure all the Scripture references were there. The first one is Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 19. The Bible says, their own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 11 and 12. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they are offering burnt offerings and an oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 17. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Dear friends, let me stop here just for a second and ask a hard but simple question. Are you so hard-hearted and so far from God that the Lord has said, let him alone, let her alone? I pray that is not the case. And that you may know someone that's like that, that is so hard, that is so distant, that has just shut off God, that's become so bitter. Yes, we want to pray for them, but sometimes God just says, let them go. Let's look at some examples from the Bible of a sin unto death. It is a sin which usually leads to a swift judgment that results in a person's death. We don't necessarily have a list to examine, but we do have several examples, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, of sin that led to death. Each case is different because the one who determines the punishment is the Lord himself. Notice the first one, Nadab and Abihu. They were priests, yes, men of God. In the Old Testament, that put coals of fire in their fire pans and they sprinkled incense over the coals. But by doing this, they disobeyed God's instructions and offered the Lord the wrong kind or strange fire, the Bible calls it, in the tabernacle. God destroyed them by fire on the spot for disobeying his commands, Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. And then we see Korah and his followers in the book of Joshua chapter 7. They were swallowed alive by the earth for revolting against the leadership of Moses. Can you imagine there going against their leader, going against the shepherd that God put there for them? And as they went against them, God gave them fair warning, but decided he just opened up the earth and just swallowed them whole before their actions. And then we see Achan in the book of Korah and his followers is number 16. In Joshua 7, we see Achan. Achan took that which belonged to God in the city of Jericho. He stole it and was stoned to death. Well, you may be thinking, well, Pastor, I don't have to worry about that. We're not allowed to stone people today. No, we're not, but God could use other things as well. And then we see Uzzah. Uzzah was smitten by the Lord for not following directions when transporting the ark and for touching it in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Yes, he was trying to do a good thing. Many church members, many Christians are trying to do a good thing or think they're doing a good thing, but when they're disobeying God and trying to do it in the name of Christ, but the way God says not to do it, sometimes God must and does deal with it. In Acts chapter 5, we find a husband and wife by the name of Ananias and Sapphira who were smitten by the Lord for lying to their church family and to God about an offering they gave to the church. See, it really doesn't matter what the sin was. I mentioned it only because they were so much braggadocious about what they said they did. But the bottom line is because they lied unto the Holy Spirit. They lied to their church family. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Paul referred to Christians who mocked the Lord's Supper. They mocked the Lord's Supper by treating the body and the blood of Christ with irreverence and disrespect. Sometimes we forget and we think about the Lord's Supper or communion, however you want to call it, and thinking about this type of worship where we partake of the bread and the blood and the juice, the body and the blood of Christ. But yes, let's remember what it symbolizes. It symbolizes the broken body of our Savior. It symbolizes the shed blood that was shed for us and for our sins. And let's make sure that we don't take it lightly and we're not taking it with sin in our life, that we're not taking it as a mockery or as a joke. Bible says some were chastened with sickness and others with sleep, which was a term for death in this passage. Notice that John was talking about the actions, again, of a brother in this passage, meaning a brother or sister in Christ. You see, in the context of this passage of 1 John chapter 5, a sin unto death is a reference to something that is done by a Christian that is so serious to the Lord that it brings about a premature death. It is willful sin that the Christian will not stop, that will not repent of, will not confess to the Lord, will not make it right. So the answer to the question, is it possible that the Lord will shorten the life of a Christian because he or she is living a worldly, rebellious, sinful life? Well, yes, you better believe it and don't forget it. Boy, I tell you what, if you're being chastised of the Lord, you should be grateful to say, well, that does show that I'm one of his. Now I need to make it right. It is evidence that I belong to the Lord. I would not be under this conviction. But dear friend, if you call yourself a believer, and by the way, being a church member doesn't make you a believer and follower of Christ. You can make a false profession, say you're saved, go through the motions, and be as lost as the devil himself. But what I'm saying is, do you know that you know that you know that you're saved on your way to heaven? If you can live a life of sin, you can live a lifestyle of worldliness and rebelliousness and live a lifestyle that's so violent to the Lord and continue with no conviction, no concern, then I question and I think you should question your salvation. Now, I realize this may not be very comforting, but dear friend, it's not my job to comfort you. Sometimes it's to comfort the afflicted, but sometimes it's to afflict the comfortable. And sometimes there's a fine line with a difference, but you know what I'm saying. I know that it's not comforting, but it's a truth and something we need to know so we don't shorten our lives. You see, one day we will all stand before the Lord. I will give an account, if not only as a husband, and as a father and as a grandfather, but I will give an account as a pastor. And it's my responsibility to make sure that I am including everything in thus saith the Lord. I am responsible to share, hey, look out, lust a warning sign, hey, you better slow down. I must preach the whole counsel of God. I must warn you when Scripture says it. And let me throw in this before I go on. This is why I like preaching verse by verse. This is why I enjoy going through a book of the Bible as we're doing a little differently on Proverbs. And I also like a little topical on occasion. But nobody can blame me. Nobody can point a finger. Oh, the preacher's just preaching it at me this morning. No, I'm not. It's the next verse in the chapter. It's the next place. This is where it falls on this day where you just happen to be here for the warning, whether it be as a believer to make sure you have short accounts or the unsaved pretender who needs to bend a knee and bow a head before the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, we know from the Apostle Paul's teaching that the body of the Christian is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God is very concerned about how we care for his temple. This is not a very good example, but I want to try my best. I have a home in Tartesso, Arizona, Buckeye, Arizona. On occasion, I check the home and make sure that it's been cared for. I have alarms on my phone to remind me to check the furnace filters and change them to make sure that they're clean. I have other alarms to remind me about caring for our home. I walk through the yard on a weekly basis to make sure there's no weeds popping up, because after all, I don't want to get one of those letters from the HOA. But I check to make sure that it's clean and taken care of. I make sure that the wall is not crumbling or falling apart. I want to make sure that I care for my home, because I want to know that something that is damaged is a lot less expensive to pay attention now than to wait till it completely crumbles. And dear friends, that's no comparison, but we need to remind ourselves our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We are to care for it. We're to make sure that we're not bringing things in through the eye gate, the ear gate. We're not making sure we're not allowing things to come in that would corrupt our bodies morally and keep us or allow us to fall into sin. And Paul is reminding of these things. He is concerned about how you and I live. Defiling his temple can lead to an early death. Several more passages of scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which ye are holy. Remember a little bit earlier about the priests Nadab and Abihu? They were defiling the temple by the way they did their offering in the temple. But here in the New Testament, during the church age, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 through 20. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Dear friends, if a Christian refuses to repent when the Lord chastens him for sin in his life, he may take that person's life early or premature. King Solomon warned about the plight of a rebellious person. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1, he that being often reproved, hardened his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. How long does God wait? I don't know. I don't. I'm afraid there's somewhat of a disconnect sometimes between adults and us gentlemen. I'll speak to us particularly. Adults, men, and when we are younger and then when we are older. I'm not sure always of the disconnect. But I tell you something that feared me when I was a boy growing up, hearing these words, son, just wait till your daddy gets home. That brought fear and trepidation the rest of my day. Dear friends, wait till the Father returns. He may not wait till he returned. In fact, there were some days that Mama didn't wait till Daddy got home, because I may have gotten a good discipline or spanking or whipping, whatever you want to call it, but then I got another one when Dad got home. The Lord may not wait. He may wait a season. He may wait a period. He may not wait very long at all, but bottom line is God will deal with our sin and our life, especially those continual sins that we do not repent, that we do not get right with the Lord concerning. See, again, the Lord may take a person right away if he or she is doing great damage to the cause of Christ. He may wait longer. He may be weeks. It may be months. It may be even years. There is no set time for a person. The final decision is up to the Lord and what he wants to do. You see, when a person crosses God's boundary, then the Lord may conclude that's enough. There are limits with God, as we saw in previous scriptures, and that is why it is so important to repent if you have or are drifting from the Lord. Dear friends, I don't know all of you well, and some of you better than others, but I know myself. And I remember as a young man at times getting disciplined. I remember at times as I got older when the car keys were taken away. Dad never punished me or took away a church activity. He never punished me from a high school ball games or anything, because as part of the team would be punished. But he punished me in other ways and disciplined me. In other words, taking the keys or taking something else away. But I tell you, there's been one punishment that my father gave me as a teenager that I will never forget that hurt me the most. When he looked me in the eye and said, "Son, I love you, but I need to go away. I don't need to look at you any longer for a while. You have disappointed me." And the simple fact that my dad could not even look at me broke my heart, grieved me to the point that it wasn't much longer after he went upstairs from my basement bedroom that I had to go back up and say, "Dad, I'm so sorry. Dad, I'm so sorry that I shamed you. I'm so sorry that I've done something, said something that would cause you to not even want to look at me." I wanted that fellowship restored. And dear friends, it should be the same way when the Holy Spirit convicts us of our walk, our talk, our language, our actions, or whatever it is that we're doing that we should not be doing, or things that we're involved with that we should not be involved with, or things that we promised to him that we are not doing any longer. Whatever the case may be, we want to make those accounts short and deal with them immediately. Because, see, there are limits with God. And again, as we saw in previous scriptures, and that is why it's so important to repent, or to have, if you have drifted away from God. Don't wait until it's too late or your life is shortened. Don't let your heart get hard or hardened. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. While it is said, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." You see, understand that the sin and the death is committed by Christians. It is not the same as the unpardonable sin. Don't get them confused. You see, the unpardonable sin is committed by a person who has not trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. A Christian cannot commit the unpardonable sin because they have been saved. They are in, so to say, they are a child of God. The unpardonable sin is the ultimate rejection of Jesus as Savior. It is a defiant rejection and refusal to heed the prompting of the Holy Spirit and trust Christ for forgiveness and eternal life. This is what happens when a person speaks against or rails against the Holy Spirit. It is a defiant attitude of unbelief. In the book of Matthew chapter 12 and verse 32, the Bible says, "And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." When death comes your way and you refuse to submit to the Holy Spirit and be saved, you will die without Jesus Christ as your Savior. Dear friend, God will not pardon your unbelief and rejection of him. Without Christ, after you die, you will not be forgiven. You will not go to heaven. You will not have eternal life. You will not be pardoned by God. You waited too late because your final answer to the Spirit of God was, I don't want Jesus. I do not believe in Christ. I do not believe he is the Son of God. I have no desire for salvation," is what they are saying. Your sin will be unpardonable. If you are not saved and the Spirit of God is still speaking to your heart about being saved, there is hope for you today. Why wait? Why put off if you don't know that you're saved? Why put off if you know you're away from the Lord? Why put off getting back in relationship and restored with the Savior? Dear friends, after constant rejection and rebellion toward the Spirit of God, he may leave you alone just as he did in the days of Noah. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh." Dear friends, we need to understand that the day may come when you no longer sense the conviction, the voice of the Holy Spirit about your sin, because your heart gets harder as you keep rejecting him. Remember the words of the prophet, as I mentioned earlier, Hosea: "Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone." This is why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Dear friends, today, right now, God is giving you the opportunity to hear the gospel and come to know Him as Savior if you've never repented of your sins and trusted Christ as your Savior. Don't throw it away. Some of you may not realize this, and I learned something. I was reminded of this, and I learned something in Sunday school this morning about a Japanese pilot. But here's another person that maybe you have not heard. But Karl Marx, the founder of communism, was reared in a Christian home. His parents were Orthodox Jews who trusted Christ Jesus as Savior. At home, he went along with Christianity, but through the motions, and he went, and when he left home, he rejected it all. Don't follow the path of rejection. Never underestimate the destruction that Satan can accomplish through you if you follow him. Christian, there is a sin unto death. Are you right with God or worldly and rebellious, as we spoke about last week? Your worldliness and your rebellion is causing havoc in your family and in your personal life. In fact, it's either pushing others away from Christ because of the way you're living and wear the badge of Christian. To those who do not know what they know that they are saved and prepare for heaven, why not come to Him today? Don't throw this opportunity away, no matter what category you fall in, whether you need to get back right with God because you're backslidden, you're away from the world, you're worldly, you're not living righteous, you're not living holy. Why not settle that today? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you've never confessed of your sins and follow Christ, why put off another day that what you could take care of today? Don't throw this opportunity away. Come to Christ either for salvation or, believer, if you're away from the Lord, for forgiveness, and restore that fellowship. That summer morning after my dad spoke to me on a Saturday morning and left my room, and I sat in my room and I wept for a period of time and went back upstairs and apologized to my dad and said, I'm so sorry. I tell you what, when he reached out and said, son, I love you, I forgive you. Oh, what a relief. And dear friends, if you're living in sin right now and you know you're a child of God, let me tell you, it will be a relief. It'll be a joyous time to come back to the Savior and say, Lord, forgive me. I want to restore my fellowship. I don't want to continue living a life that may lead to a premature death. I want to live for you. I want to serve you. I want to live as you would have me to live. But if you're right with God, rejoice. Rejoice and maybe pray for others that may not be living that way. Prayerfully consider going to them and let them know you're concerned about them. But dear friend, if you're here today and you don't know without any reservation that you're saved on your way to heaven, why put it off for another day? It is a simple act of faith. No, you don't have to understand it. You don't have to completely understand everything. It's a thing about faith. But do you believe and know that God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, to live on this earth, to live, to die, to shed His blood? Because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, that we might have eternal life. He bled, He died, He was buried, He rose again on the third day, that we too one day will rise and walk in newness of life. Dear friends, do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? If not, why not come today? Whether you're here this morning or listen via our website, it's the most important thing decision you'll ever make. You don't have to physically be here. You can also do it in your home. You also can do it wherever you sit this morning. It's simply asking the Lord to forgive you. Because the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible also says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then the Lord comes to the rescue. But thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And dear friends, we will rejoice with you. And if you're here today, you know you've wandered and you're thinking, well, you know, Pastor, I may not be what I used to be, but I'm not that bad. Well, how bad does it have to be? If you're admitting that it's not that bad, you're telling me that you're not walking with God. You're telling me you're not righteous and holy because it's not that bad. And if it's not that bad, it can't be that good in your walk with Christ. And we want it to be that good. Decision is yours.
I can't twist your arm. I can't make you, but I can plead with you to do business with the Lord. Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes are closed this morning. Our pianist will come and begin playing as soon as she is settled. But I wonder this morning, if you're here, if you do not know that you're saved and on your way to heaven, why not come to Christ this morning? Why not get those answers, questions answered in your life? If you're here today and you know that you're saved, but you know that you're not living the way you should. I'm not going to call you a carnal, hypocrite Christian. I'll let the Holy Spirit do that. But if you know you're not where you should be, where you have been, why not run to the Savior and say, Lord, forgive me. I want to be where you want me to be. I want to not only be called your son, but a righteous son that is right with you, a righteous daughter that's right with you, living for you, and ask the Lord to forgive you and to restore you. Salvation is still there, but that fellowship is broken. You do business this morning, would you? Whether you stand or here at the altar, it really doesn't matter, because every believer, including this Christian, will rejoice, whether it's a sinner coming back to Christ and getting right, or there's one coming to Christ for salvation. They're both joyous times and something to praise God about. Dear Lord, you know the needs that are represented this morning. I pray that thy sweet Holy Spirit would bring such conviction to those who need to make decisions this morning. Would you work in their lives? Would you draw them and help them? Father, give them the courage to do what they know they need to do, whether it be for salvation or whether it be getting right with you. Father, all help us all to live a holy, righteous life separated unto you for service. In Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed, our pianist is playing. You do business with the Lord. The altars are open if you need to come and get right with the Lord, or if you just need to come and say, Lord, thank you for the challenge. Thank you for the message. Thank you for the reminder, whatever it may be. You do business with the Lord right now. Holy Spirit have free reign in your life? Are you hearing his voice and responding in obedience? Are you rejecting? Are you fighting? Are you resisting? Why resist? Why make yourself miserable when all you have to do is say, okay, Lord, I surrender. What would thou have me to do? Hearts and minds are clear. You can look this way. We'll close the public invitation, but I'm always available if you have any questions. And we'll have a word of prayer in just a moment. Just a quick reminder about the funeral services. There'll be no receiving of friends on Tuesday morning because there'll be a closed casket. So the funeral does begin at 8. It may end up being just a little bit later, but please don't be offended if they make people wait a little while before they come in, as the family has time. So I have some family out of town, children and grandchildren, was not able to be here before Bob's passing. But again, the funeral begins at 8 at Thompson Funeral Chapel, 8 o'clock, and then they'll be having the graveside a little bit later after that. Please pray for me and Michelle as we try to comfort and help the family the best that we know how. So keep us in prayer as well. All right, as always, remember that God loves you, His preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. Michelle and I will make our way to the back and receive people as we prepare to dismiss. Brother Mel Hoddy, would you please dismiss us in prayer?